Hello everyone and welcome to the Woman's Cave. Guess what, you guys, I get to say it every time. Oh, the sound of my own voice. As a narcissist, it's a wonderful thing. If you haven't noticed, there's no Jade today. Jade, right. No Jade. No one to temper me. No one to stop me. I'm going to take over the world. Anyway, no. By the way, I'm one of the 13 And I Thought ladies, and I'm going to take Jade's bit and go wonderful, awesome, marvelous, and gracious ladies. Yeah, she always has a large amount of adjectives. I'm trying to beat her with new adjectives. I can only get 4 and she normally does 6. Anyway, we write books. Go figure. 13 of us, we write books. And the books go like this. And I thought divorce was bad. And I thought being grown up was easy. And I thought I could juggle it all. And I'm missing one. Oh! And I thought I did my journey alone. And lastly, and I thought I had it all figured out. Hello, Hollywood. If you're out there, this is the script. Episode 1. I want this cute face to go with this script. Just, you know, pick up the script. Make the actors say the word exactly as they are. It'll be perfect, I promise. Anyway, we also have our own television show, Just Right in Life, on Channel 18 in Sacramento. Check us out there. And also on Amazon.com. And BarnesandNoble.com is where you can find the books. Amazon.com is where you can also find our show. You can also find our books at AndWeThought.com. Which means, like, if you go to the And We Thought page, go to the ladies tab, go all the way to the tippity bottom. Yes, tippity bottom is a thing because I say so, and if I say so, it is therefore a thing. Tippity bottom. And you will find all of the charities that we support. Please, 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 people, let's support this. Let's do some good in the world. We need some good news out here. I think that's it for about me. Yes. I ran out of things to say about me. Go imagine. I remember when I forgot my name. I'm Winona. Yeah. And my normal co-host would be Jade. But once again, she's not here. So instead, I'm going to say wonderful, wonderful guests. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Hi, my name is Carrie Williams. I'm a copy editor for TheUndefeated.com, which is an ESPN affiliate website. I've been there since late March. Previously worked for newspapers and political media in the same capacity. I'm happy to be here.
Can I just say one thing? So he goes, so I went ESPN, and then I went newspapers, and then political. Dang, you must be smart. I don't do smart on the silly show, just to let you know. This doesn't happen often.
I'll give you whatever you want.
That sounds good to me. Put all some right. Silly in it, and I'm good to go. Anyway, I'm hearing an accent, so where are you from?
Well, I grew up in Jamaica. I spent about half my life in Jamaica, half in the USA. I was actually born in the States. My parents were living here at the time. And then moved to Jamaica when I was 5 years old. I grew up there, went to school, went to college in Jamaica, and then decided to come up to the States and utilize my US citizenship and come back to school and just stay for work. It's history, as they say.
So I met this wonderful man at a writing seminar. So when he says he utilized his citizenship and went to school, he's not joking. He doesn't mean he went to like a 4-year school. He had to get all the fancy education. What's that fancy education that you have now?
Well, I did also complete another 4-year degree in addition to the one I got in Jamaica. I did a 4-year degree in mass communications at the University of South Florida, which was 3 years because I, you know, took some credits from Jamaica.
Mm-hmm.
Then I did a master's in journalism and public affairs at American University. That was 2010 to 2011. And then immediately started working for CQ Roll Call, a political publisher, in 2011, shortly after I graduated, and was there for five plus years until this year in March when I started at The Undefeated.
Wow. Okay, so you like how you said, and then I did another 4 years and immediately went to work. Like the rest of us could not really do that. Must be nice to be intelligent, Mr. Williams.
Getting jobs is not always about intelligence. I would say there are a lot of very capable and intelligent people out there in the world who have been displaced or are not able to get the kind of employment they are seeking. So I've been the victim, not the victim, I've been the recipient of a lot of good fortune and divine intervention. I think that's what has gotten me a lot of the opportunities that I've been presented. I'm very grateful for that.
Wow. And this is what happens when you have educated, politically correct guests. They're like, no, it's not intelligence. It's situations that pop up. Just want to point that out. Anyway, let's get serious. Let me actually ask a serious question. There is no Jade here to tell me stop it. Like, she would normally be doing this right now and, you know, ask a serious question. So I'm smacking myself and telling myself it's time to ask a serious question.
I would rather not answer serious questions. So,
So with a degree in journalism and actually working in political things, how is it going from that to ESPN? Because you don't go, oh, politics. ESPN. Nah, that doesn't happen. Unless you're talking about the politics of sports.
Right. And that's a good segue because The Undefeated actually does cover a lot of intersecting topics, not just in sports, but also race, politics, pop culture, entertainment, current affairs. So it's an ESPN affiliate website, but it's not just an offshoot of ESPN.com. There's much more than sports content on here. And working in political media, it can only benefit you wherever you go after that, because you're so much more in tune with what's going on in the halls of Congress, what's going on in the White House. And you're just so much more aware. You pay attention to the most important things going on in society when you're forced to when you work in political media, because that's what we covered, and then it continues after that, and that background informed a lot of the context of the things that we write about at The Undefeated.
Okay, first and foremost, we did get to interview one of your colleagues, Ms. Carter, Kelly Carter, and what she did with pop culture and making the intersection with politics and race and solid subjects was amazing. I mean,
kind of sports too.
And there's a lot of sports, yes. For the guys out there's a lot of sports. But how she intersected was amazing. So go back and check out that interview as well. But right now we're talking about Mr. Williams. And I just want to say, Mr. Williams, you did an amazing example of how politics always informs your answers and your decisions in writing when you said your situations and displaced workers. Just wanted to point that out again. Voila. But anyway, with journalism and being in the political arena and saying that it kind of opens your eyes to world matters, do you feel that it's like Americanized world matters or something like you would get internationally? Because a lot of times America only deals with domestic. So do you feel that opens your eyes to international or domestic world affairs?
Well, I think it definitely opens your eyes to international affairs, because so much of what happens in America affects the rest of the world. America certainly does not exist in a vacuum. You just see whenever the president or somebody high up in the political arena says or does something, it instantly makes international news. A lot of the laws that are passed affects global affairs. It could affect global trade. It could affect global communications. So certainly, everything that goes on in Congress and the White House,
I believe they said one time, America sneezes, the world catches a cold. But anyway, moving on from that, because we don't do politics here. I'm sorry?
I said I heard that growing up too, and it's very true.
Really? We don't really do politics here, so I'm going to skip over this entire conversation again.
Understood. You realize it more when you're in another country, how influential the USA is. But you don't always get that picture if you only have experienced life here.
I'm supposed to be skipping them, but it's kind of funny because, like, every time I travel out of the country and then you watch their news and you get a world kind of thing, but at the same time, you always know what's going on at home. In fact, sometimes you know more about what's going on at home outside of the country than you do when you're inside. It's so weird.
That's definitely true. One of my journalism professors made that same point, that you never thought that U.S. domestic students were well prepared in international affairs, that international students always knew more about what was happening both in the USA and outside the USA. It always pointed that all the time.
Last,
I think you just kind of care more about what's happening abroad when you have a stake in more countries than one.
Exactly. It's funny because that really came to play when this one time we were sitting at a table full of BBC reporters, and we came over to do like a lighthearted, non-political interview, and then they invited us to dinner, so of course we had dinner, and then the questions they were asking, I was like, dude, we don't answer those questions. I live here. I don't... Come on now. I just live here. And you guys work for the BBC. I'm not answering anything. It's not happening. Anyway, moving on to the subject of journalism in general. You are one of the fortunate people that can find a job in journalism and have worked steadily in a career that means something. Moving from, you know, there to a more poppy job that still intersects. It still means something. But how do you see journalism playing out in, let's say, the next 10 years? Where do you see the Washington Post of the world?
Right. It's very hard to forecast. The landscape changes literally every year. And, you know, the information I was told when I was just leaving University of South Florida in 2003, within a couple of years, that information had been almost obsolete based on information about the job market and what kinds of jobs would be abundant and what kind of jobs would be sought after. And things had changed so much within 5 or so years that nobody really saw it coming, the drastic changes in personnel and in what kinds of skills and what kinds of talent would be sought after in the industry. I did go through a job loss, you know, I was at the South Florida Sun Sentinel in the Fort Lauderdale area, and I was there 6 years and went through a job last year and saw a lot of very talented colleagues, you know, get shown the door, and many of whom have not returned to journalism. I would say that I've had to fight to remain in journalism. Once I got laid off, I was determined to not, you know, to not have my journalism career end there. So it has not been easy. I would say that I did have to, you know, despite what was happening in the industry, I really did want to try to pursue journalism for as long as I could. And but every position that I was up for, you know, I guess I just like to think I was well positioned at the time, but I'm always aware that things can change in an instant.
Exactly.
You know, I went through a job loss once. I hope I won't have to go through it again.
I'm sure you won't, not with such a steady employer. First of all, I want to say thank you so much for actually sharing that story, because I asked that question to quite a few journalists. I don't always ask it rote like that, but no one has ever been like let me explain how it has affected my life. They're always like, well, I see a shift and this is where I forecast we will be. And I thank you so much for that personal feeling on that, because I think we can all connect with the whole job loss thing. So no, you're not as fortunate as I thought you were when you started off, and I was a little annoyed with you and jealous. I feel better now because I'm a bad person.
No, you're not.
So my last question is on the personal note. I understand that you are going to be our next screenwriter, our next Spielberg. Well, nope, that's a director. I apologize. Sorkin? I believe our next Sorkin.
He does some screenwriting, too.
Yes. So how is that? How do you go from writing concise articles that get to the point, because, yes, I've taken a journalism class or two, just don't like it. I prefer novels. How do you go from that to writing dialogue and just portraying them through that, not through, like, per se facts, but through words that are spoken?
Okay, so I would hasten to add that I have not actually put pen to paper yet for the scripts that I have in mind, but I do have ideas that I'm bouncing around. I have taken several screenwriting classes at institutes around here and read a lot of books, but but I am nowhere really in the screenwriting process that I have anything to show for it. But I would say that screenwriting is its own beast, and that's part of the reason why I've taken so much time to educate myself on how it works and what is acceptable in that industry. What do they look for? What do they reject? So I've been doing a little too much educating and not enough writing. But I promise I will put pen to paper. I'm not too worried about the transition, because I think that, you know, there've been a lot of script writers that come from the newspaper world, the magazine world, that kind of thing.
Yeah. You know? There are quite a few. In fact, I have an associate that went from writing newspaper articles to a play on the West End in London. She became a judge at the Olivier Awards for the Olivier Awards. So, yeah, it's definitely doable. Definitely doable.
There you go. And I think just liking movies, watching movies, and paying attention to how movies are structured and how the dialogue works is extremely helpful. You know, the writing aspect of it is probably the biggest challenge, because you have to be very precise in how you write scripts, or else they could get rejected.
Exactly, there's a lot in structure. Will we ever have a novel from you? Since you can do the facts section and the description section due to the journalism,
right?
But you can also do dialogue due to the scripts. Will we ever have a novel?
I could, you know, I've not really thought seriously about writing a book, whether a novel or something nonfiction. I've been only thinking about writing more journalistic work, as well as screenwriting for film. So, but I'm not eliminating any option. You know, I'll keep every single option alive. I've had, you know, colleagues who have written books, you have written books yourself. So, you know, you guys inspire me, and...
Oh, we're not good inspirations, but go ahead.
Fantastic. Seeing those books on the screen just really makes me want to emulate you guys. And, you know, every day I get more inspiration to continue the writing process. So
awesome.
I would say never say never for a novel from myself.
That sounds awesome. Hey, I'm definitely game to co-write, so.
Oh, fantastic. Even better.
You never know.
The prophets.
Winona and Mr. Williams? That could work.
I think so. There's some kind of bubbly thing going on there.
Exactly. Well, Mr. Williams, I want to thank you so much. I'm not even going to start trying to use your first name, although he did school me on how to say it correctly, spelled it out phonetically and everything, and I was like, he just doesn't understand. For right now, I'm about to say Williams, because I can say that right.
I'll take that.
So, Mr. Williams, it was truly a pleasure having you. Can you tell everyone where they can find your latest journalistic efforts?
Okay, so please log on to theundefeated.com. You can go straight there, or you can link to it off the ESPN.com main site. I'm on the masthead, but I don't have any bylines yet because I'm strictly a copy editor at this point. But hopefully I will get my chance to write something soon. In the meantime, you know, read all our content. There's a lot of great content on theundefeated.com. Subscribe to our newsletter and bookmark us so you can visit every day and give us those clicks. Give us those clicks. We need those clicks.
Mentioning that, you know, I should probably mention that we need people to subscribe. Go figure. Hey, Jay's not even here and I remembered. Oh, my goodness. I am loving myself. Mwah to me. Mwah to me. Okay. I should probably wrap this interview up real quick. And, hey, you know, Jay does it better, but, hey, I'm going to try. I can at least give it a shot. So I'm Winona, and I'm one of the 13 And I Thought ladies, and we write books. These may be upside down, sideways, and backwards, but these are our books. Voila, available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNobles.com. And I'd like to end this by saying that wisdom is all around you, and normally the other half of that would go to my co-author and co-host. But since I'm here, I'm going to say if you're open to finding it and accepting it. So peace and love, you guys, from Winona and the Missing Jade. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you.